Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I am fantastic and really craving a pretzel.
I was thinking as I was watching, I'm like, man, pretzels would be good right now. Cinnamon.
Big fluffy pretzels.
I like the dessert cinnamon sugar pretzels myself.
I'm a big fan of all pretzels pretty much, as long as there are no spicy things involved.
I don't like hard pretzels.
Yeah, I mean, they're not as good as soft pretzels.
I prefer. Oh, yeah. We're going to talk more about pretzels. Believe you me, this is a very important pretzel episode in The Simpsons canon. Absolutely. We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. For only $2 a month, you gain access to all of our bonus content, help the show continue on, keep us ad-free. We have some people to thank, Matthew.
We do. Fantastic.
We do. Jessica Olson. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you, Jessica.
Nathan Worthington. Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you, Nathan.
And Mike Leedy, one of the two. Mike, thank you very much.
Mike, however you pronounce your name, you rock.
On to this week's episode, it is The Twisted World of Marge Simpson, episode 4F08, originally aired January 19th, 1997, written by Jennifer Crittenden and directed by Chuck Sheets. This is his first, the first episode he's directed, but he has directed many since, even up until like 2014, I think. He had some episodes.
He got a little taste of it and decided it was for him.
It's a thing. I mean, he directs a lot of animated shows. So I think it's just like, hey, he's a person they can rely on, probably. Finished 55th in the ratings, a Nielsen rating of 8.2, approximately 8 million viewing households. The fifth highest rated show on Fox that week, following The X-Files, King of the Hill, Melrose Place, and Beverly Hills 90210. King of the Hill beat it, Matt.
Yeah, well, it's a new show. It'll go downhill soon enough.
Downhill? Yeah. Chalkboard gag is, I am not licensed to do anything.
Well, it's amazing the number of things you need to be licensed to do, so I can believe that.
Bart has licenses, doesn't he? He got a driver's license.
They're mostly, illegal.
Oh, illegal? Illicit licenses don't count? Is that what you're saying, Matt?
Illicit, that's the word I was looking for. You're correct. He is not licensed. He has a license. He is not licensed.
That is technically correct. The couch gag is a whack-a-mole game with the clown music from... Homie the Clown.
Yep.
Episode guest stars Jack Lemmon as Frank Orman and Joe Mantegna as Fat Tony. They both do a good job. Episode begins with the Springfield Investorettes, which is a Knickerbobble, Marge, Agnes Skinner, Maude Flanders, Helen Lovejoy, and...
Ed Knickerbobble.
I said Edna. I can't remember. Malice's mom.
Luann.
Luann, her, what, I don't know. What's
Van
her maiden?
Hooten.
Well, no, what's her maiden name?
I don't know. Something Dutch.
She's divorced.
Or Danish. I can't
remember.
She's
divorced now. She wouldn't keep Van Houten.
I don't know. Lots of women do. My mom did.
I need to know this, Matt.
All right, then.
It's very important. This is vital information. Mussolini.
Oh, that's right, because they're Italian.
Yeah.
I actually just watched the episode where Milhouse teaches Lisa Italian.
And then he's still bad.
It's true. Although, funnily enough, I guess if her last name is Mussolini, then his Milhouse's middle name is Mussolini as well.
He doesn't have a good name.
No.
Every part of his name is not good. But they're the Investorettes, and they've actually... If their findings are to be believed, they've done a very good job at investing. They have crazy, really high return on ROI on their investments, and so they've cashed out, and now they're looking for new things to invest in.
Well, I mean, they invested in a Mexican wrestler, so obviously they're doing pretty well for themselves.
El Bombastico. they want to invest in something new. Marge, however, is risk averse.
I suggest we pump our profits into some new high-risk ventures.
Oh, how about Oklasoft? It's Oklahoma's fastest-growing software company.
Cushions? Everybody likes to sit on cushions.
Children are so fat today. Isn't there some way we can make money off that?
There's a franchise fair this weekend. Why don't we buy a business?
never thought of that.
I'm not wild about these high-risk ventures. They sound a little risky.
Well, that is kind of the definition of high risk.
Yeah, Marge doesn't seem like... I don't know. This episode is ostensibly a Marge episode, even though it sort of becomes a Marge Homer episode in the end. But
honestly, when it becomes a Marge Homer episode, I'm very glad that it's not a typical Marge Homer episode where the focus is what a horrible husband Homer is. It's more of a, hey, we're both trying to do something together, which is fairly rare and quite nice.
And it's more of like, Homer tries really hard. He's just dumb sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that this is like Marge just joining groups because she wants company. I don't know.
It's something to do during the day. I get the feeling that a lot of these women have nothing to do during the day. It's like, let's start a business. Sure.
Edna works. Edna's a teacher. Is it summertime?
Probably. I mean, do we know what Luann does?
I thought Luann was just a housewife. Homemaker.
Me too. Luann was a housewife. Helen Lovejoy's probably a housewife. Agnes has never had a job that we know of. Marge doesn't have a job. I'm pretty sure the only one in that group who has a job is Edna.
That's what I mean. So Edna has a job, but she's not working.
She works the night shift.
At the elementary school?
No, in whatever business they're going to buy.
Oh, okay. So this is an evening time meeting? This is like a dinner meeting?
Yes, at the IHOP.
It's not the IHOP. It is the Municipal House of Pancakes, I believe.
Sorry, the MHOP.
And Agnes says their pancakes are really bad. But Marge is risk averse, doesn't want to spend their money on anything, and everyone else in the group seems to not like her. It seems very immediately they're just like, well, we don't like you, so they kick her out.
It's not that they don't like her, it's that they want to do something risky. They're in this for fun, and Marge is like, oh, she's too scared to enjoy herself, essentially.
I mean, $500 is a decent amount of money, but if you're talking about investing money, $500 is actually a very small amount of money.
It is. Yes. Most places won't even let you invest short of $10,000.
Most places?
Online brokerages, usually, are $10,000. Small franchises would probably be closer to the neighborhood of $100,000 for even a basic Subway franchise.
But that was her. See, I'm confused about how much money they're making in here, because they had that huge return on investment. But Marge goes on to say that $500 is her original investment. Like she.
So they just basically keep all of her winnings, essentially.
Yeah, like so that's the only way I could imagine them affording that Fleet of Pita stuff, because that stuff looks really expensive.
Yeah, it's like an RV with foods. It's a food truck before food trucks were big and much larger.
Marge goes home, is sad because she's been kicked out of the group, but the family, as a unit, decides they want to invest into something.
And then they gave me back my $500 investment and kicked me out of the club.
Wait. Back up a bit now. When are the pancakes coming in the mail?
Well, maybe it's all for the best.
What do you need to make money for anyway? As long as I have my earning power, this family's got nothing to worry about. Ow! Oh! Call work and tell him I won't be in tomorrow.
Mom, this is no time to be conservative. Let's roll the dice here.
It would be nice to beat those women at their own game. Maybe I should look into a franchise.
So?
Yeah, Marge, you do that.
Homer stabs himself in the eye with a hot dog in this scene. And
that's pretty dangerous, especially if it's covered in mustard.
Those Creedence, like, the talk about Homer is getting dumber over the years. he stabs himself in the eye with a hot dog. It's kind of like that's not even stupidity, really. It's just like a complete lack of like hand eye. Like, it takes a lot of work to miss your mouth by that much.
I mean, we know Homer played video games, so I don't know what's going on.
That's
with
a
him.
Good six. That could be up to six. With Homer, it's probably 6 inches. His mouth and his eyes are pretty far apart. But they go to a franchise fair. They go to an expo, a convention to buy various business franchises, where they run into Royce McCutcheon, who's not – what is that guy selling?
I believe a frame nudging –
That's not Royce McCutcheon. Royce McCutcheon is the guy they see first. They see a different guy who's the frame guy.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Royce McCutcheon is –
He talks about moon money and something. He's just talking about moon money. Yeah. I don't know what that means. Homer gets crazy about moon money with him. And I'm just like, what?
He's just pitching the idea of franchises.
Seems a little fishy to me. I don't trust Royce. I think Homer's right not to trust Royce McCutcheon. I don't even like that name. I think that name sounds
anybody
fishy.
Named Royce is not trustworthy. No, yeah. You'd say.
But they do. We do see Marge sit in on the picture perfect frame nudging, and then she runs into the investorettes who are doing their own. They are also looking to franchise shop.
They're auditing franchises.
Auditing. There you go.
For a minimal franchise fee, you'll receive a pair of straightening gloves, a canister of wall lubricant, and a booklet of the most commonly asked questions you will hear, including, who are you, and what are you doing here?
I don't want to own my own business. I don't know why I came here in the first place. Hello, Helen?
Marge.
Edna?
Marge.
Oh, my name is Agnes, and you know it's Agnes. It means Lamb, Lamb of God.
I'm sorry, Agnes.
Marge.
the Lamb of God. That's I really like.
That describes her to a T.
Yep, Agnes is definitely the really lovely, gracious person that her name would suggest. Marge. I don't know. What is Marge searching for in this episode? That's the thing. Like, I feel like this episode is just short of giving, like, of landing that. I feel like that's my biggest problem with this episode. It doesn't ever seems to get to that thing, like, what Marge is actually ultimately searching for. Like, because it moves into, like, a Homer Marge episode more than anything, is that only it? Is it just, like, Marge just needs to feel loved at home, and so that's why she's going out and joining the investorettes or trying to make a franchise about pretzels?
I feel like Marge's whole point is here. She wants to find her own business that is less risky than what obviously the investorettes are going for. But she would be hard pressed to find one for as cheap as she did, to be honest. Because, I mean, when you think about it, we haven't quite gotten to this yet, but Marge picks a pretzel franchise. So I'm not really sure what she's getting out of that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I just don't. I don't think they complete that arc in this. I think that's the, like, it feels like it's almost there about saying something about Marge, and then it just kind of doesn't. It just kind of ends. But we'll get there. While Marge is shopping, while she's trying to figure out what to do, we see the investorettes meet a hot new franchise named Fleeta Pita.
Pita. Well, I don't know about food from the Middle East. Isn't that whole area a little iffy?
Hey, I'm no geographer. You and I? Why don't we call it pocket bread, huh?
What's tahini?
Flavor sauce.
And falafel?
Crunch patties.
So we'd be selling foreign
specialty foods. Here, try a Ben Franklin.
That is good. What's in it?
Tabula and resme kebab.
That's our chef, Christopher.
I really enjoyed. I like Fleeta Pita a lot.
It also sounds delicious.
It does also sound really good. Is it okay? The year is 1997. Is Middle Eastern food that? I guess it is. I guess there are still people who don't know what falafel is. So I guess I can't. It's 27. It's 20 years later, and there's still people who probably won't eat tahini because they don't know what it is. So
tahini's so good.
Tahini is very good. Falafel is also, like, I'm all on board with all of that food. I could eat it right now, honestly.
That's true. Middle Eastern food, very, very good food. Definitely better than Asian food.
Are you trying to provoke an argument with me, Matt?
Maybe a little bit.
Okay. Because I'm not, I like all foods. I'll pretty much eat any kind of ethnic cuisine. And enjoy it a lot, but I think it's unfair for I don't know, to compare Middle Eastern and Asian foods. Like, Asia's a larger area, you know, and it has a slightly larger variance in their cuisine.
That is true.
At least in the versions we see in the West, I think. But I will eat all the falafel you give to me. Give me more. Give me some crunch pat. I like their fake names. Their friendly names for the Middle East. Yeah, flavor sauce and crunch patties. It's really
crunch patties. Yeah, those do sound good.
I think it's funny in that I think that honestly is. I think that works. It is that would work backwards nowadays. Like if you had a food truck and you were trying to sell Middle Eastern food, you want their names. You want it to be called falafel. You don't want to call it a crunch patty, because I think nowadays what people are searching for in food trucks is things they haven't encountered before. They want unique experiences, especially with how many more food trucks there are than there were in 1997. I think in 1997, food trucks were like exclusively like, I work at a job site somewhere. I need like a taco. So I go to a taco truck.
They're tiny and just big enough for like two people to fit in them. And it's mostly pre-cooked food or something that can be cooked, you know, in a, you know, one by one container. Nowadays, food trucks are a little more, you know, there's a greater variety.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of food trucks. They have their own little celebration as it is announced they buy into the Fleet of Pita franchise. They get to burst through that little, whatever that is, paper thing. I don't know what to call them. Like they have them at sporting events too, where they jump through a paper thing.
It's like a finish line, but not really.
It's like a words. Bart also joins their celebration. I really enjoy that. But Marge sees Frank Gorman. She sees the pretzel wagon who he talks about the pretzel, talks about how good it is, how it was a golden brown life preserver. And it is after she sees the investorettes buy into a franchise. I think that is what ultimately spurs her. It is seeing these, I don't know, the like Marge's motivation here, I think, is largely of like resentment towards the other ladies who kicked her out, of them like shunning her.
Yeah, it almost feels like she's like, oh, that's the one. I think she says that's the one franchise she might have become interested in thinking about investing in. And yes. So now she was really upset and makes an impulsive decision.
Right. But I mean, Frank Gorman, voiced by Jack Lemmon, is a nice guy. And I think it ultimately sells her. And it's, I think maybe it also is a little bit of fate there. That's like exactly $500. It's exactly the amount of money she has. She buys in and immediately asks where her territory is.
Your franchise, how much?
$500.
I'll take it.
Congratulations, and welcome to the dynamic world of mobile pretzel retailing.
When can I start? What's my territory?
Your territory? Well, let me tell you. Wherever a young mother is ignorant of what to feed her baby, you'll be there. Wherever nacho penetration is less than total, you'll be there. Wherever a Bavarian is not quite full, you will be there.
Don't forget fat people. They can't stop eating.
Hey, pretzels.
Well, that is definitely true, as I can attest, but still.
Matt, you're not fat. Don't say that.
Uh-huh. Especially after three food tours in a week. Yes, I am.
Well, whatever. That doesn't count. But that's how we go to commercial with Homer. Homer being,
hey,
just
pretzels.
being in a perfect spot.
Yeah. When we come back, we see Marge going through her franchise kit, which includes a videotape, which is something special, guys.
Oh, hello, I'm Frank Ormond. And if you're watching me, that means you've got pretzel fever, and not the kind that attacked my intestinal lining some years back. So let's get your franchise up and running. Start by setting up an office in your basement or garage. An automatic garage door opener makes you feel like you're working in a futuristic wonder world. Next, blanket your community with flyers. A phony ticker tape parade will help you avoid littering laws.
Welcome back, Space Girl.
Now you're ready to make pretzels. Open your bag of ingredients. Ugh. Check for millipedes.
So, yes, it's a very enthusiastic start to Marge's pretzel making. Also, I feel like getting a parade permit probably costs a lot more than the flyers will generate in business. But, hey, whatevs.
It depends, Matt, because I think you can get a parade permit in New Orleans for $250.
Well, then, that actually seems like a pretty good deal.
And, I mean, that's what Hannibal Buress has a whole bit about him setting up a parade for his friend's bachelor party where they, because you can drink in the street and you, there's brass bands that just kind of walk around outside, and that's how they make money, is, you know, they busk basically, and you can basically, that you go to the police station, buy a parade permit for $250. The police will advise you to a good route. Then you hire a brass band, and then you just buy, like, and you can drink in the street, so you just buy a liquor bottle and pass it around to your friends, and then you have your own parade with a brass band, and you just kind of walk around, and people join the parade as you go.
That actually sounds really awesome.
And I assume Springfield has the exact same laws as New Orleans.
That's true. New Orleans, Springfield, same difference, really.
It's the same city. So maybe it was up and up. Who knows?
That's true. Also, as we learned in a streetcar named Marge, they are totally the same city. They were singing about themselves.
I wouldn't be surprised if Springfield had less restrictions about parades than New Orleans does, honestly.
That's true. They do seem to have quite a few of them. But Marge makes her initial batch of pretzels. Homer is the official pretzel inspector. He even has a set of calipers to make sure the pretzels are the correct size. And he approves, because they're pretzels. You generally just have to follow the instructions, and they're freaking delicious.
I'm curious, I have a feeling that Marge is not using the official pretzel, like the old-timey method of pretzel making.
I doubt that, because that seems like really difficult compared to just, you know, getting a few frozen ones and heating them up.
I know, but the official method of you use lye.
Right, which does not work very well in a non-industrial environment.
I mean,
it probably go blind.
No, you just have to be careful. That's how that's the method Alton Brown recommends when he makes his pretzels. He does the old-timey method, which is perfectly safe, as long as you don't get lye in your eyes.
So good luck with that.
Don't put lye in your
eyes. All of you out
there
who want authentic pretzels, get the lye.
I've never done it, but I kind of want to, because I feel like that's an interesting, weird thing. Lye pretzels.
It's like homemade pickles. They're weird, and only you will ever eat them.
I don't like pickles at all. I do like pretzels.
Well, there you go. You should make pretzels.
I do. Are you telling me you didn't pull the Yeah Homer's Right clip, Matt?
I did not. That did not seem that interesting to me.
I'm upset about that. I think that was very
funny.
Well,
I'm sorry that you're just wrong. I know it's difficult to be as wrong as you are.
You don't understand, Matt. It's really tough.
I understand. Yes, I know lots of people who are wrong quite frequently. I'm married to one.
Oh! Oh, no! Sorry, guys. Hey, listeners, I'm going to have to inform you that I'm starting auditions for a new co-host, because Matt's going to be dead by the next time we record another episode.
Indeed. Anyway, while I'm still alive, let's continue on. Mm-hmm. As Robbie said, at the next day, Homer basically makes up some gibberish about, hey, it's one of those pretzel wagons the movie stars are always talking about, which convinces Lenny and Carl and the rest of the crew to go purchase pretzels from Marge, who has pulled up, where she is selling the pretzels for $1 a piece, which seems like a pretty good deal, I gotta say.
Yeah, I mean, they're big pretzels for $1. That's I give me 5 of them things.
This was also the late 90s, so maybe it was a little cheaper back then. Still, $1 for pretzel, pretty good.
Actually,
doesn't have much overhead. But unfortunately for Marge, the Fleetapita van, RV, whatever you want to call
it. Truck. It's a truck.
Truck. There you go. The Fleetapita truck rolls up, blasting music and being flamboyant, and steals all of her business, which is unfortunate. Marge, of course, goes over to ask them politely to leave, since she had the spot first, and where the Agnes compares them to Macy's and Gimbel's. Marge compares them to Macy's and Gimbel's, and Agnes informs her that Gimbel's is gone. Gimbel's has been gone for a very long time.
Yeah, Gimbel's is not existed since the 80s. That was the last time there was a Gimbel's.
It's true.
But for a long time, Gimbel's was more successful than Macy's.
True. I don't know what happened.
And $1 in 1997 equals $1.53 now.
Okay, so that was still really cheap back
then.
That's
still pretty. That's a good price, $1.50. I'd pay $1.50 for a big pretzel.
I paid a lot more than that.
Where are you buying pretzels?
Just last week in New York.
How much?
From a little car on the side of the road.
How much were those New York pretzels?
It was like $4.
That's a New York price. It's not so bad.
Yeah, it's not that bad. But at this point, we also see Marge giving out coupons for free pretzels, and she is stopped on the way home by Cletus, who orders 300 pretzels. Unfortunately, he somehow managed to accumulate 300 coupons. So Marge, being the nice businesswoman that she is, doesn't say, ha, that's funny, give me $300. She actually gives him 300 pretzels. And I really should have captured all of Cletus's kids' names, but it just didn't seem that interesting.
Matt, the correct question is, does Robbie want this?
That is not the correct question. Asked myself.
Well, that's the first mistake you should ask. What does Robbie think about this situation? I have the list in front of me. I'll do my best. Best, Cletus. Tiffany, Heather, Cody, Dylan, Dermot, Jordan, Taylor, Brittany, Wesley, Rumor, Scout, Cassidy, Zoe, Chloe, Max, Hunter, Kendall, Caitlin, Noah, Sasha, Morgan, Kyra, Ian, Lauren, Cubert, Phil.
Which, to be fair, with 300 pretzels for that many people, they're still getting quite a few pretzels.
That's a lot of pretzels. You don't really have to honor those coupons. Businesses don't have to honor coupons. They can not honor them whenever they want.
Yeah, it's not like cash. It's not a binding contract.
Marge just cares about her brand integrity. That's why she's honoring those coupons. That's why she's doing it.
With hillbillies. Yeah, it's important to have good brand visibility with hillbillies.
I imagine, you know, Cletus is probably spreading word all over Spittle County about Marge's
they
brand.
They go great with your flood.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, those pretzels, how Marge, what is the name? Is it just the pretzel, Marge's Pretzel Wagon, or is it just Pretzel Wagon?
I assume it's just Pretzel Wagon.
Okay, well, then Cletus is going like, man, the Pretzel Wagon gave me 300 free pretzels when they really didn't have to, and I kind of stole it from them, but who cares? I got pretzels from my hundreds of kids.
Yeah. So, seeing as how the coupons were a failure, Marge attempts to give away a whole bunch of pretzels at the baseball game, where Mr. Burns wins a, what kind of car was it, Robbie?
I believe it was a 1997 Astro Wagon.
Yeah, that's correct. Good, you remember this time.
I just watched this episode, Matt.
I know, but, you know, I asked you the trivia question before and you didn't know, so, yeah.
I don't, again, I have useful knowledge to keep inside my head that is not, you know, what kind of van they sold in this episode before I watched it. You know, I have very important information like,
which cat is which?
Well, two of my cats look near identical, so that's actually very vital information.
However, once Mr. Burns wins the 1997 Pontiac Astro Wagon, the fans, of course, boo him because he's rich and he was sitting in seat 001 or something. So it's very obvious they picked him to win the vehicle. So they throw the pretzels at the field. Hall of Famer Whitey, is it Whitey Ford? that's guy's name, right?
Again?
Yes.
Yes, Whitey Ford. He's a Hall of Fame pitcher with the New York Yankees.
All right.
I believe through a perfect game in 1960 in the World Series. I believe my father has his autograph.
That is impressive.
I mean,
he comes out to plead for sanity and is knocked out by said pretzels.
Did you not pull this either, Matt?
I didn't pull this either.
What am I going to do with you?
I'm just being super lazy today.
I don't question your effort. I question your reasoning.
Well, that's your prerogative, I guess. Bart suggests
they could call them Whitey Whackers.
Exactly. So when they get home, Marge is understandably depressed, and she gives her kids some advice.
Oh, cheer up, Mom. You can't buy publicity like that. Thousands and thousands of people saw your pretzels injuring Whitey Ford.
You could call them Whitey Whackers.
I was wrong to have a dream. Wrong as usual. I mean, if you're nothing special, why kid yourself?
Oh, Mom, no.
Listen to your mother, kids. Aim low. Aim so low, no one will even care if you succeed. Dinner's in the oven. You want some butter? It's under my face.
It is a good place to keep butter, and that's good advice. Every parent should give their kids that speech at some point in their lives, usually sometime around middle school or early high school.
That's bad. It's very sad. I think that's the thing
very
that
depressing is like that.
I feel like this episode never fully delivers on this feeling. Like, I don't know. It feels like it just misses that last step of delivering getting Marge in a good place again. Cause I wish it just stayed a straight up Marge episode. I think that's my main complaint about this. Like, they threw Homer in there because he wants to fix the problem, and then it doesn't, like, I think, like there was a thing they could say that was, like, fundamental about Marge, and it kind of, I don't know, I think that her relationship with Homer and him caring about her and helping is fundamental and important. I just wish that they kind of delivered on Marge pulling herself out of this place she's in right in this part of the episode. I wish it was more her pulling herself up and realizing a solution, not Homer or saves the day. Sort of.
I don't know. I don't see that being as funny as this, to be quite honest with you, because involving the mafia and everything.
Well, sometimes I don't, you know, funny's not my most important thing.
It's not the most important, but I mean, I don't know. Would you have Marge herself go to the mafia and then realize it's wrong?
You, there's a way probably you could end this episode without the mafia.
I guess, but, you know.
Okay, how about Scenes from a Class Struggle in Springfield, Matt? Do you like that episode?
I do, quite a bit.
Okay, then. Does that have the mafia in it?
No, but I mean.
Okay, then.
I feel like that's, like, the best way to continue this episode is have the somehow Marge has to get ahead in business, and that's the funniest way for her to do so.
I'm not saying it's bad. I still like this episode quite a bit, and it is very funny, and it is really smartly written. I feel like it doesn't land all. It doesn't have all the emotional punch it could have.
That's true. What I think would be interesting, actually, spitballing ideas here, is Marge and Bart team up to break into the Fleet of PETA wagon and sabotage it somehow. That'd be an interesting way to go.
Yeah, like I think she doesn't ever make, like, she does stand up to the mafia, but she never is, like, she only learns that they've been helping her at the very last second. And it's nothing that she has done. Like, I feel like the journey would be greater if she herself went, like, no, I need to succeed. What will I do? I will do something great or bad, you know, like she herself could hire the mafia, like you said. And she herself would learn. And you could still have Homer being, you know, Homer. You could still have all those same jokes. But I think the journey would be greater.
True.
Her learning herself, like, I'm not willing to sacrifice like, yes, I made bad decisions, but I realized that they are not, me succeeding in this is not worth it. And I don't think she ever realized, like, she never finds that spot in this episode where she goes, no, I don't need to be successful in this business to be happy.
That's true. And I think that's the lesson they kind of side eye up to at the end, but it's not stated explicitly, and it's probably for time, I guess. But yeah, I can definitely see this episode going that way in another life, but I still think this is a good episode and still funny enough at the end.
No, I agree, but this is very sad.
That's true. Sorry. All right, we've gotten off track a little bit. We got a little ahead of ourselves. Homer decides he's going to help Marge after she is at her lowest moment. So he goes to see Frank Ormond, who, it turns out, is dead, along with the executor of his estate, who is in the same car. So, yeah, Homer's not going to get a whole lot of help from old dead Frank. So he goes to the one place where he knows he can get help.
You're my last hope. I've never reached out to you before, but my wife is in her hour of need. Your help could make all the difference in the world.
Okay.
See, boss? I told you that ad in the church bulletin would pay off.
So, yes, as we hear, Homer has gone to the mafia for help thanks to the church bulletin. It's an interesting advertising policy they have, but hey. And with that, we go to commercial.
I mean, when I need to do business with the mafia, I just go to church.
That's where a lot of them spend a decent amount of time.
Although, wouldn't it be Catholic? Wouldn't it be a Catholic church?
Springfield is very non-denominational, although I've seen several episodes where they reference the Episcopalian church next door, and there's one in season 17 where the Hibberts moved to a more boisterous house of worship.
There's a Catholic church, you know, in Springfield. There's an episode about that as well with Liam Neeson, I think.
There is, yeah. There is. However, you know, Springfield's population grows and shrinks based on the episode, and this episode is very small, so everyone goes to the same church.
Okay. Plus, I mean, the mafia probably just goes like, hey, what's the biggest church? You know, that will get us the most business. Strangely enough, surprisingly, after the mafia gets involved, tons of orders start coming in from lots of unions for pretzels.
Wow, it's weird, you know? The Meat Packers Union Hall, they really want some pretzels there.
Yeah, absolutely. Marge is getting lots of orders. We have a montage set to, I don't know how to identify, what kind of, how would you describe that music, Matt? that the montage is set to.
It's like, very it's Tarantino-esque.
It's jazzy, kind of jazzy. It reminds me of like 50s and 60s spy movies, which,
yeah, you know, almost James Bondian, but not as horn heavy as James.
Kind of music like that. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get smart there.
Yeah. But the mafia is strong arming all the competitors in Springfield, which includes Hans Moleman, who sells hot dogs in this episode, the Girl Scouts, and beats up Skinner so that he will order some pretzels for school.
Sure, the children will get enough nutrition from these pretzels.
Yes, I am sure. Sure as sure can be.
Oh my God, what happened to your fingers?
Boating accident.
I believe it was a boating accident. I have to go now.
I love the sound of that laser.
I believe it was a boking accident. Yeah, there's...
Good old poking.
Yeah, you gotta watch out for those boking accidents. But Marge is all very successful now. It's easier when all your competition is getting strong-armed out of business. They blow up the Fleet of Pita van or truck. They literally blow it up. It explodes. So... What? They're raking in the dough. Get it?
Just a raking it in.
Well, dough.
Dough.
Pretzel. Dough. Pretzels and Homer. All three levels there. Three levels of dough. Homer is confronted in Moe's in the bathroom by Fat Tony.
Greetings, Homer.
Hey, Fat Tony. You still with the mafia?
Yes, I am. Thank you for asking. Now, Homer, as you no doubt recall, you were done a favor by our, mafia crime syndicate.
Oh, yeah.
Now the time has come for you to do us a favor.
You mean the mob only did me a favor to get something in return? Oh, Fat Tony! I will say good day to you, sir.
Okay, I will go. Hey, wait a minute.
I love that shame. That's so great.
Fat Tony, momentarily confused by Homer's... in this episode, Homer can't find his mouth with a hot dog, and yet he can do this, like, complex psychological trick on Fat Tony for trying to collect the money.
I'm sure he's used to it being done on him, so he's just replaying how it went when somebody did it to him.
Oh, I see. So he's like, oh, that works. I'll use it on someone else.
Exactly.
So Homer's not willing to pay or doesn't want to pay. So Tony sets up a meeting with Marge.
Who are you?
We are your business partners. And as such, we are entitled to a percentage of your profits. Something in the area of 100%.
What are you talking about?
We suggest you have a conversation with your husband. You have 24 hours to give us our money. And to show you we're serious, you have 12 hours. See you at 6 a.m.
Homer, did you tell the mafia they could eliminate my competitors with savage beatings and attempted murder?
In those words, yes.
Oh, it just sickens me. How could you do this to someone you love?
How could I not? I saw you pouring your heart and soul into this business and getting nowhere. I saw you desperately trying to cram one more salty treat into America's already bloated snack hole. So I did what I could. I did what any loving husband would do. I reached out to some violent mobsters.
Mm-hmm. I know you were trying to shield me from failure, but this is my business, and the mafia is not getting 1 cent of my money.
So what are we going to do?
We're going to do what we do every day. We're going to make pretzels.
That's quite the speech. I was very, very moved.
I also disagree. Like, if you think that what he did is wrong and you don't want the mafia involved, why don't you just pay them and then tell them we don't do this anymore?
That's true. I don't know if that's ethically valid, though, because when you think about it, they've already eliminated all of Marge's competitions. So unless somebody new springs up...
I mean, if she thinks it's dirty and bad, she's acting like that money was hers and she got it.
That's true. That doesn't seem quite as much like Marge, but, you know,
I mean,
maybe she's morally flexible.
It does provide a lot more drama because we have them making pretzels yet, and they're watching the clock and they're waiting. They're like, oh no, the mafia's going to show up. What are we going to do? Eventually, the clock hits 6 a.m. They have a false alarm with Grandpa, because of course they do. And then the mafia show up and want their money.
Sorry we're late. Could we have the money now?
The answer is no.
I'm afraid I must insist. You see, my wife, she has been most vocal on the subject of the pretzel monies. Where's the money? When are you going to get the money? Why aren't you getting the money now? And so on. So please, the money.
You heard her. She said no.
Legs, Louis, advance on them.
There they are!
Well, well, if it isn't Marge Simpson and her gangland cronies.
Your goon squad certainly gave you the edge in the mobile snack business. But I'm afraid we've outdone you once again. Hiroshi, Yukio. Perhaps you've heard of the Yakuza, the poison fists of the Pacific Rim, the Japanese mafia.
They'll kill you 5 times before you hit the ground.
Cue a long fight scene between the mafia
and dangerous.
The Yakuza. Homer is forced to go inside and misses out on the small guy, whatever he does, which we don't see either. We just hear. I like the fight scene. I think it sells the violence. It makes it, it doesn't like, I don't, they are carrying knives. No one gets stabbed. So it can't, it's not too serious of violence. At least we don't see it. It's more of like people getting thrown and kicked and punched. But everyone, Homer and Marge retreat inside and, they, I guess, touch on the moral of the story.
You must hate me, Marge. Every time I try to help, I just fail miserably.
Oh, I don't hate you for failing. I love you for trying.
What's going on outside?
Oh, it's just a mob war. Go back to sleep, honey.
Forgiveness, please.
That's how
it's just a mob war. It's totally okay.
Yeah, that's how the episode ends. And this is kind of my problem with the episode, I think. In like, which would, you know, it doesn't, it, I think it asks a question with that sad scene of Marge being a failure, and then never really answers it. Like, we never get an answer to what, like, she's like, yeah, it's not worth even trying. And then it shifts into a different thing altogether.
Yeah, I mean, Marge doesn't really learn anything. She learns that, hey, I got better at business. And I don't think she really internalizes the idea that it wasn't her. It was an external force causing her to be better at business. And at this point, I think she's just tired of it and she gives up is how the episode ends. So, yeah, I can definitely see where you're coming from. It's like it takes a weird twist for the third act kind of thing.
And it's not that, I don't know, I think it's still very funny and I like the mafia stuff in it. I like the mafia fighting the Yakuza as the episode ends. You know, and I believe they say that, you know, they didn't know how to end this episode, and then Matt Groening came up with them the gang, the mob warfare. which I mean, I guess it's better than nothing, and it is funny. I just, it is a little inconsistent, and that brings it down in my book. And that's, it's you know, these Marge episodes are so few and far between. I, you know, I might be a little bit more exacting with them than I would be in if this was just a Homer episode, which this is what it, that's what this episode kind of turns like. It feels very much like this is how you would end a Homer episode. You'd go like, oh yeah, there's mob warfare and the family is happy. It's not, I don't know, there's no deeper kind of emotional realization or character change or anything.
There's
like
something
that
about work ethic, but it doesn't really come across when the mafia is how you actually got ahead.
And it's the Simpsons. It's Springfield. You know, mafia are a perfectly reasonable route to take when your business is struggling. Right? Right, Matt?
No? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, I mean, if anything, the city government of Providence, Rhode Island would tell you that's exactly how it works.
This is a thing from some podcast you listen to, isn't it?
It is Crime Town. Great podcast. Check it out.
I don't really listen to crime podcasts. I like happy,
but they're so fun.
I like happy things. I like funny and happy and interesting, like discussion about art, not murder and crime.
Hey, very few people got murdered in this one. Oh, it was mostly It was mostly extortion and drugs.
Oh, okay. That's much better. That makes me much happier. That really relieves stress. When I'm trying to relax, I really want to listen about murder and drugs.
Hey, it's important to speak truth to power.
I mean, I don't disagree with you, but I don't know how, like, a crime podcast has anything to do with it.
It's basically how honest FBI agents and journalists took down a crooked mayor.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
It's aspirational in this day and age.
I heard about this guy. Isn't he still, like, really revered and has, like, street names named after him and stuff like that, even after all?
Oh,
that?
Yeah. I mean, it's Buddy Cianci is the guy, I believe it's the middle school and Family Guy is named after him.
I listened to another podcast that has a Rhode Island native in it, and I think they mentioned how everyone in Rhode Island still really likes him, even though he is a corrupt politician.
Yep, and beat the crap out of a guy because he had an affair with his wife. Yep, and then they elected him mayor again after he went to prison.
Okay, we don't need to advertise for that other probably more successful podcast.
That's true. Sorry. Moving on. You know the mafia. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. It was good. I like this episode. I don't want to sound too critical of it because I do like it a lot. I still think it is one that whenever it would come on in syndication, I would still go, oh yeah, Twisted World of Mafia. I like, you know, it has fun mafia stuff in it, and it's, you know, it has it the tonal shift. Doesn't keep it from being good. I think it just keeps it from elevating into, like, great territory.
That's true. The Springfield Mafia is always fun because I don't know if they've ever killed anybody that we've actually seen. Just a few bodies in bags.
Yeah, those people died of natural causes. We will rank it at the end of the show. No submissions for this for my favorite episode. However, if you do have a favorite episode, simply submit your response to simpsonshowpod@gmail.com explaining why a certain episode is your favorite. And I'll read it when we get to that episode. Next up, it is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is where I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group, still archived on Google Groups, and see what people were talking about the week or two after an episode debuted, see what they thought about it, see what they were interested in, anything newsworthy at that time. Middling reviews of this one, Matt.
You know, I can kind of see that. It's weird because usually when we feel a way, the newsgroups feel the exact opposite way. But I definitely see this as a good, not fantastic episode. And to hear that they felt the same thing makes me feel a little dirty.
I mean, they don't even think it was good. They were like, it was mostly like C's and D's.
Oh, well, it's good to know. I'm not as disgusting as they are.
They were firmly in letter grading, the letter grading route. They were mostly C's and D's. There are a couple B's in there, but no, like, hey, this is very good, or I don't know. I can't always find a semblance of, like, rationale. They really don't like Jennifer Crittenden episodes. I don't know why. I think,
well, it's guys on the internet in the 90s. I think misogyny was, you know, on the upswing.
Come on. You can't automatically think the worst of people, Matt, on the internet. Why would you do that?
I wonder why.
Are you?
The world will never know.
Are you saying that being on the internet a lot kind of inspires credulous uncertainty about your fellow man and their intentions, their beliefs?
That's a good way of putting it. Congratulations. You should write a book.
About what?
About how sad the internet is.
I don't want to do that.
About how you can 90% of the time you assume the worst about some of the internet, and you're probably right.
I don't want to write a book about that. That's not fun to me. If I'm going to write a book, it's certainly not going to be about the internet. That sounds like torment. Not much else pop up on the news group. It's always the same. It's always, hey, this is where Springfield is for sure this time. And hey, is Smithers still gay? Or is he gay? No, he's not gay. Yes, he's gay, guys. It's okay. You just say he's gay. It's fine. We can move on for our next segment. It's time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is how did you get into the show? How did, when did you start watching? All that kind of question. I'm a kind of amazing response this week. I was really surprised by how many people answered. I kind of wanted to read everything, but there's a lot of them. It was really cool reading about how all you guys found the show. It's interesting, always interesting. I tried to include as many as I could. From Gretchen, I was born in 1989, so I don't really have a distinct memory of when The Simpsons came into my life. It's just always been in my consciousness. My whole family watched it when I was growing up. It was always an extra special thing between me and my dad. Like MASH and later on King of the Hill, it was our show. As with many people my age, watching in syndication was really the game changer. I had no concept of what episodes were in which seasons for a long time because of it, save for a tape of season 2 episodes I commandeered from our home video stash. But those episodes just burned themselves into my brain forever. From Abby, I loved it since Simpsons roasting on an open fire. I was 8. I remember it getting repeated multiple times that month, or it seemed that way, and every time it came on, my family groaned, but I kept loving it. Then when it came on in syndication, and then the DVDs came out, I became the obsessive super fan I am today. From David, Bart the Genius was the first episode in Australia. There was a lot of hype about how it was bad for kids. Being only 9, I was very lucky my parents didn't listen to it and made up their own minds. I have been watching ever since. From Brian, my parents had a copy of Simpsons Roasting on Open Fire on VHS. Hadn't seen much else, but I watched the episode over and over and over. It wasn't until about 7th grade that I started watching on a regular basis. My parents got divorced that year. I moved in with my dad, and we didn't have cable, so I watched whatever was playing over the air, which led to me discovering the brilliance of the show in syndication. From Jeff, I was 4 in 1989. When he saw my older sister watching it, my dad tried to ban the show from our house because Homer kept choking Bart, and they said butt and sucks. The banning is what attracted me to it, and I quickly fell in love. This is a similar story with GoldenEye for N64, actually. It was Mortal Kombat 2 for me, but yeah. From Juho, was visiting New York around 88, 89 with my parents. We are from Finland. We are flicking through a selection of shows that came across this odd yellow family and thought, what the hell is this? The next year, the show started in Finland. I thought that's interesting. From D, caught one of the shorts on the Tracy Ullman show, was immediately obsessed, used to watching that terrible show, waiting for more. There's multiple people going like, yeah, Tracy Ullman wasn't good, but The Simpsons were. From Sean, I was a boy. I watched the first episode. I never stopped. From Robbie, Bartman, the comic miniseries and appearance in Three Men and a comic book. From Izzy, my parents and I just moved to Oregon and gotten our cable turned on. That night, Simpsons roasting an open fire plate and we all watched it. I was maybe 8, 9 years old. We were hooked after that. From Tasha, my mom always worked nights, so it was something I would watch every night with my dad since I was pretty young. We always have our own inside jokes from the show, and now after he passed, it brings all those good memories I had. Hashtag Forever Simpsons fan. From Eric, through Tracy Ullman, yes, children, I was alive in the 80s and throughout the 70s. The Simpsons shorts was my favorite part of the show. When I heard they were going to make it into a full series, I thought that was friggin' awesome. I was 20 when Simpsons Roasting an Open Fire first aired, and I thought it was great. The show got so much better until around the late 90s when it slowly started into an unfunny habit I can't break. I didn't laugh once at last week's episode, but I feel like there's a hole in my Sunday nights if I don't watch The Simpsons. It's okay to stop.
Is it, though? No. Is it?
Okay, it's not okay. I say keep watching The Simpsons every time at the end of this episode, at the end of every podcast. So no, I guess it's not okay to stop. From Will at Will's World MN, I watched the first episode live and have never stopped watching. I had no idea they were on Tracy Ullman at the time. From Gregory at GB Freeman, my mom was a big fan of shows like Carol Burnett. She had me watch Tracy Ullman with her and voila, Simpsons fan. From Alan Titus at Alan Titus, watching Simpsons Roast on an Open Fire when it aired. I was 19 then and excited to see a primetime animated show and been a fan since. From George at Pompey George, by watching Tracy Ullman pre-VCR and sitting Bart and Lisa close to the screen and see who made the really funny cartoons. Funnier than Tracy Ullman. Brandon, excuse you, 77. I grew up watching with Mom. We started from practically the beginning. I still have a tape from 1990 with a couple original broadcasts from then. VHS was such an awesome thing to discover years later. It was the first episode of In Living Color on it. Tons of great answers. I read everything. You guys, really interesting seeing how people come at the show from different angles. Matt, what's your answer?
Reruns, my friend. I believe it was the mid-90s, somewhere around middle school, when The Simpsons were on at least 2 episodes a day from like 6 to 7 p.m. So they were on Fox, and at that point I actually had my own TV because I was one of the luckiest kids in America. So I got to see 2 episodes a night. There were lots of episodes I missed, especially seasons 1 and 2. They weren't rerun nearly as much as seasons 3 through 8. But, you know, I got to the point where those episodes I had seen several times, I could start quoting. And from then on, once the internet developed, it was smooth sailing to amassing my enormous Simpsons collection.
Yeah, I have mentioned, I think, as we've gone through those episodes, which ones I distinctly remember watching live. And I want to say that I probably started with Bart Gets an F watching live. With season 2. I think that's probably when I was watching it with my family. And that's what we would do. I would watch with my parents and my sister every Sunday night. And it was it was the routine. I would have my bedtime would be right after The Simpsons. I remember distinctly. And then, you know, as the years goes on, the bedtime would get a little bit later. But I remember distinctly when I was a little kid, I was four when The Simpsons debuted, you know, 5, 6 in those first early seasons. I distinctly remember my bedtime on Sunday nights was always, hey, you watch The Simpsons and you go to bed. It was, you know.
Sounds about right. That way your dreams are filled with Simpson-y goodness and people with yellow skin.
I dreamt more about Ninja Turtles.
Well, I can see that. Ninja Turtles are very fun to think about when you're a little kid.
Okay, give me your top two turtles, Matt.
Ninja Turtles?
Yeah.
That's a tough one. I probably have to go Donatello and Leonardo.
All right.
Yes, you're a Raphael and a Michelangelo kind of guy?
No.
Okay, just making sure, because if Raphael was your favorite turtle, I would have to smack you.
Okay, well, Raph is my favorite, but Michelangelo is last. Yes. It's Raph and Donatello. Yeah. Raph and Donatello 1 and 2.
Oh, man.
What's wrong with Raph?
Raphael's so boring.
He's not boring.
He's so boring. He's generically angry at nothing.
When you're a 7-year-old, that is the coolest thing in the world.
That's true. That's why Wolverine was big.
Wolverine's so cool.
Well, he's also dead, so.
No, come on. There's the other one, the old guy now. He's the same.
Old man Logan. I think Laura's a better Wolverine than he is, but whatever.
I agree with you. My Wolverine is dead. I hope that they're never gonna. They messed it all up. Next week's question. What is your favorite sports moment from the show?
Ooh.
Is it Whitey Whackers? Is it Whitey Whackers? Is it Homer at the Bat? Come on, there's so many to choose from. Tons of them. Post this question on all our social media, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod, and you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Any of those places, follow and like us, and I post Simpsons things occasionally if I see something interesting. We can move on. Matthew?
Yes?
It's time for the new Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I each challenge each other with 3 trivia questions. 1 easy, 1 medium, 1 hard. Try and stump the other. We have a wager for this season, for season 8. Whoever loses has to record themselves on video singing a Simpsons song of the winner's choosing.
Whew.
You're
going to be rough.
Yeah, it is going to be. I mean, I'm down 13 points, and we're not quite halfway through the season. Doesn't really bode well for me, but I mean, it's possible I could win, right?
To be fair, you have a much better singing voice than I do, so we should all hope that I win.
I don't know if that's necessarily true, Matt.
I think it's definitely true.
Okay. I'll give myself, I'm like a 6. I think I'm a
And I'm like a 2.
Oh, you're not a, you're fine. You're like, if you're a, nah, mm-hmm. I don't know. You have musical chops.
Yes, they don't involve singing, though.
I know, but if you can recognize tone and like melody and sharp and flatness, you can work your way through something. Won't be great. That's all I do. Uh-huh. It's not like I have a beautiful voice or something. Matt?
Yeah?
Give me an easy question.
All right, sir. Your easy question today. Make sure I'm on the right one. All right. I think this is the correct one. I don't want to make sure. All right. What pop star guest stars in The Manson Family?
Which episode is that?
That is the one where Homer and the family take over Mr. Burns' mansion because he is, I forget which, why he's off. This may be the one where he is at the Mayo Clinic and he's got all the
right.
diseases.
Right, yeah. He has Three Stooges syndrome.
Right.
There's a pop star in that?
Yeah, a very, very famous pop star at the time.
Oh, good. The Manson Family. I remember the episode. There's monkey knife fighting in that. Is that episode?
There might be.
Okay. I don't. This is.
Just make a guess.
I'm going to. I'm not going to. Pop star. Britney Spears.
You are correct.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take it.
Congratulations. It's only in there for like 2 seconds. So I don't know why.
I was like, okay, that's late 90s. Who was popular? All my questions are from Apocalypse Cow.
What?
There's an episode entitled from season 19, Apocalypse Cow. I hear you typing, Matt.
Apocalypse Cow. Oh, hey, no, sorry. I'm reformulating a question for it a couple weeks from now because I made a mistake.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, focus. Okay. Apocalypse right. Cow. In Apocalypse Cow, Bart joins what youth organization?
4-H.
That is correct.
All right.
See, the questions, they answer themselves. What's my medium question?
All right, sir. Your medium question. What sport is being broadcast in international waters in the Manchin family? They're broadcasting blank with implied oral consent, not express written.
Oh, MLB, Major League Baseball.
Damn. It's not a good day for me.
Oh, whatever. Okay, in Apocalypse Cow, we meet Mary Spuckler. What is her middle name?
Her middle name?
Yep.
Mary Spuckler. Okay, okay. I got this. Okay, let's see. Zoe Deschanel.
She's a Spuckler.
She's a Spuckler. So her dad's Cletus. I'm going to go Brandine.
Her middle name is WrestleMania.
Damn it, I should have known. Oh, that's, God.
That is why I picked that question.
I'm sure it was.
Okay, what's my hard question?
All right, your hard question. Who was the oldest man in Springfield before Mr. Burns?
Before Mr. Burns, I don't think I can just reason this one out, can I? Something you know. It is old man Sotheby.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. It is Cornelius Chapman.
Okay, yeah, that was just me guessing a name.
He is killed by Britney Spears when she kisses him, giving him the award for the oldest man in Springfield.
Right, I remember now. Okay, right, that happens in that episode. What season is that, 10?
Nine. Well, let me see.
9, 10, 11, somewhere in there.
I want to say it's 9. Let me search Wikipedia.
That seems like
11.
11, that sounds right. Your hard question. In Apocalypse Cow, Bart and Lisa are watching which cartoon?
Which cartoon?
Yep. Cartoon.
Watch tune. It's Transformers with clowns. It is, oh God. Trans Clownomorphs?
Is that your final answer?
Yes. Is it Transmorpho Clowns?
Which is your answer, Matt?
Trans Clownomorphs.
You're correct.
Ah, oh, yes.
Hate you.
I know.
I should have switched them. I don't know. I really thought you'd get WrestleMania way
hard. I
thought you were going to get that. Well, that's great. I'm down 14 points, so that's good. It's great. That's everything's good. Life is happy. Woo! Yeah, we can move on to our final segment, the segment we end every episode with. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part of the show where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically, we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever, and how good they are. I'm looking in, like, the 60s.
The 60s, huh? I was actually looking around the 50s, so I think we can get pretty close.
I looked at my like break even point where I'm like, I know it's not better than that is Lisa the Greek. Mm-hmm. And that's number 59. And I was like, Lisa the Greek.
Wow,
better.
Has that gotten that low? Wow.
Lisa the Greek's number 59. I think Lisa the Greek is better than this episode.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. What about Radioactive Man? You think this is better than Radioactive Man?
No.
Yeah, I'm looking actually down around 65, Homer at the Bat. I really enjoy Homer at the Bat, but it definitely has the hallmarks of an early episode. I really enjoy the guest stars, but I feel like this episode is not quite as funny, but it's close, and it has at its core a good lesson for Marge, whether or not she actually learns it.
I think Homer at the Bat's better. I think it hangs as one thing. I think Twisted World and Marge Simpson changes a little bit, and I think it's weaker for it. I think Homer at the Bat is basically, it is what it is the whole time.
That's true.
And I think...
It's not... It...
What? Well, go ahead. What are you saying?
No, I was going to say, it's very funny, but sometimes I forget about the Homer aspect of it all, how sad he is and how great the ending is for him. And I realize why that episode is as good as is ranked as highly as it is.
I would put it right below Home at the Bat.
I agree with that, because that puts it right above Home Sweet Home Diddly Dum Doodly, which I think this episode is better than.
I think they have similar problems, and I think this is better than. I think this is funnier, certainly, than Home Sweet Home Diddly Dum Doodly.
Yeah.
So number 66 on our list is The Twisted World of Marge Simpson. Currently number one on our list is Cape Fear. Last place, still last place, been in last place since we watched it, Homer's Odyssey at 154. It will not be there forever, I promise you. I think multiple episodes will be below it.
Eventually.
Eventually. We're not quite there yet. What is our next episode?
Oh, let me check my list. I believe it is Mountain of Madness. Mr. Burns and Homer are trapped on a mountain.
I enjoy this episode quite a bit. I'm looking forward to watching it and talking about it.
Indeed.
I have powers. Political powers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can find this list, best episode ever list, at our website, simplythesimpsonsshow.com. Links to everything there, to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, to this list, and to our Patreon. If you want to throw the show a couple of dollars, we'd obviously greatly appreciate it. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at Robbie Dorman. I finally changed. I'm tired of spelling out. I'm tired of spelling out Mixed Master Serial. I'm just Robbie Dorman on Twitter. Easy. You can please check out my other podcast, The Handsome Boys Comics Hour. It's about comic books and The Serial Fanaticist. It's about many things. We talk about some wrestling. We're going to talk with Matt about some Harry Potter coming up soon. Check it out. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That is true. This weekend, me and my good friend Ray Magini are going to be doing some home improvements. So, if we can prove that he exists, maybe we'll get it done. Maybe we won't.
Also, Matt's wife will be killing him.
More than likely, so after what I've said this episode.
Watch our social media for auditions. I'll let you guys know afterwards. With that, call it a day. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching this episode.
Shh.